Ago, we sang that song, Ancient Words, speaking of the truth that comes within the Bible, words that came to us 2,000 years ago and beyond, and yet by the power of the Holy Spirit still come alive and instruct us and teach us and transform us. So let's hear them again this morning, recognizing how the Spirit can work, open to the power of God in that. We hear first from Acts chapter 17. We hear about Paul and his time in Athens. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and he said, Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, to an unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, it does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth. And he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed it is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is a great moment. Paul is the consummate speaker. An evangelist in this moment. It's a setting where the educated, the thoughtful, the philosophers of the day are gathering and they share their philosophy. They share their knowledge. And Paul sees a window and an opening. He gets to stand up and to tell them the grand story of who God is. The God that they all worship, but they don't know it. They don't understand it yet. They're confused in their worship. They've got idols to everything under the sun. Even an idol to the unknown God. And Paul says, aha, let me tell you the story. The real story behind all the other stories. The one you worship, this is the God of the universe who made all you and me alike. See, 2,000 years ago, the people were groping and were wondering and wandering and sort of, what is life about? This is what the philosophers were always debating. What is our purpose here? Is there something more? Something higher, something else, someone else? And that hasn't really changed, has it? 2,000 years later, we still debate these sort of things. Is there something more, someone, something? There are a lot of religious polls that go on in America, year by year, month by month practically. Barna, Gallup, and others do these polls. And you know, they always ask certain questions, and at the heart of them, they want you to categorize. What is your faith, tradition? And so they have lots of categories. Protestant, Orthodox, Catholic, Jew, Muslim, Baha'i, you name it. There's lots of categories, right? Do you know what the fastest growing category is in religious terminology? None. None. Now, not the, you know, habit wearing none thing, but people who will say of their spiritual tradition, there is none. In modern America, people are still searching, they're still groping, they're still wondering. They just aren't necessarily turning to organized religion to find the answers. But they want to know, why are we here? What is this life for? What is it all about? Perhaps you've asked some of those questions yourself. Perhaps you've wondered, what am I here for? What about this life? Well, we're going to start a series today. You'll find out from me, I like to think and to consider and to preach along in a midst of in a series of ideas with a theme. This theme, this series, we're calling Life on Loan. I'm sort of connecting it to a book I read a while back I wanted to sort of bring up again called Living a Life on Loan. At the core of it is this truth that you and I are created by God, gifted with life, and are set here to live. And our life is on loan. Our life is not our own to choose what to do, what we will, but instead to invest, to use it wisely for God's purposes, because we are God's. God's people, God's creation, God's children. And so our life is a life given on loan from God. We talked about it even as we began our call to worship this morning. It was in Psalm 24. What did the verse say? Well, let's see it again. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. That's us. This is God's world, and we live in it by God's pleasure. So the discovery and the work is to say, and what is God up to and calling us to do, to live? Now help us think about that a little bit. I have a little puzzle piece here. Have you ever thought of your life as something of a puzzle? Anybody like puzzles, by the way? Sort of a puzzle aficionados around here? Oh, we got a lot of you. Yeah. I remember in our household there was a, somewhat of a kind of a Christmas tradition. It seemed like right around Christmas a puzzle would be brought out. And then during sort of the break time, it would just be on a table for us to work on little by little over time. And isn't it fun to see how each piece seems so, I don't know, basic, sort of insignificant, and yet as you put the pieces together, the picture unfolds. Now, of course, the joy of doing a puzzle on a table somewhere in your house is you have the box top to guide you, right? You're like, what is this for? I think it goes over there somewhere, right? The struggle of our lives, of course, is that often we feel like we're just one of these pieces in a larger puzzle, and we don't really get what the large picture is. We struggle to understand our place in it. What's God up to? What's our piece of this puzzle? Well, that's what I want to talk about today. And to help us get into that a little bit, we're going to explore a passage even further back, way back into Deuteronomy, chapter 26. Now hear this. This is Moses. Moses instructing the people of how to live now that they've come to understand they are God's people, God's chosen ones. He tells them this. He says, look, when you've come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and you settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you. See, it's all from God. And you shall put it in a basket and go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. And you shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. And when the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number. And there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. And when the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord our God, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction and our toil and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. And then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. Now why read that story to you? It seems so far removed, doesn't it? We're talking thousands of years back. This is the history of the Jews as they became a people. What does it have to do with you and me and puzzle pieces? Here's what I think. Moses was giving the people a story. He was telling them and reminding them of their story, of their place in the grand puzzle. He was helping them to remember that generations before, it began with Abraham, a wandering Aramean, a man who heard a voice and followed and didn't know what he would find. And then century upon century, the people grew in Egypt, and then they were called out by God. See, he's reminding them of their history and their story. And friends, to figure out and to understand what our piece looks like and how it fits into the larger puzzle, we have to understand our story. Where do we fit in this? Moses was reminding the people of their part in the story. Well, what's your story? Where do you fit? I figure I should probably tell you a little bit of my story. Most people like to know a little bit of their pastor. What kind of story does he have? Well, here's the brief version. I grew up in a household that was probably best described as agnostic. There was no real faith tradition in the home. There was in our history. My father had grown up in a Norwegian family, so they were Lutheran, yeah, sure, you betcha, right? So there was some of that in the history way back. My mom grew up in the plains in eastern Colorado, in little towns, and so there was no one church tradition, but there was sort of itinerant preachers that would come through and stay for a few weeks and move on, and so there was a lot of traditions there that she was a part of over the years. But somewhere along the line, those faith traditions got left, just got left on the floor, I guess, so that our family, my older brother and sister and I, mom and dad, there was no more sort of going to church and knowing anything about God. That's a part of my story. And then the story turns when I was a sophomore in high school. I had moved back into the States. We'd been living in Caracas, Venezuela for several years when I was in middle school. And we came back to the States just before high school. And I was one of those kids. I was a wandering Aramean, if you will, or a wandering Californian. I came back to a little town in the Bay Area of California. I didn't know anybody. Everybody had sort of their groups. They'd all grown up in town. I was the outsider, wandering and wondering, God, where do I fit? And I knew nothing of God. And so my search was, it just felt empty because there was nobody to ask, nobody to understand, to help me explore. What is my point, my purpose? And then there was this girl. She asked me to go to a youth group. And I'm 15, and she's cute. She talked to me? Oh, all right, you're going to be there? Okay, I'm going. I don't know what youth group is, honestly. I don't know what that Presbyterian church name means, any of that, but I'm going. And so I followed a girl to youth group. All right, anybody else done that? There's a few. The ones who are honest, yeah, they're there. Yeah. I knew nothing. And what I found was as I spent time around that youth group with the students and adults, and I heard more and more of God's story unfolding, the more I began to understand my piece. See, because we each have our own individual unique piece in the puzzle. It may not seem like much, and there may be days when you think of your piece and you kind of go, huh, not a whole lot to it. But it matters. Your piece, your life, your story matters. Because God wants to use each one of us, each piece, to unfold and create the larger puzzle. Now, I brought a puzzle piece for you today. I know you were getting jealous. Like, why does he have the puzzle piece and not me? So, on the front pew here, Josh, if you can pass those along, and if you guys take one and pass them along, you guys see it over there, awesome. Take one and pass them along. And I want to invite you to take this piece, this little puzzle piece. Now, again, it may not seem like much. We don't have the box top to look at. We don't know what the whole picture looks like yet, but that's life. We're just exploring, living into it. But I want you to take this piece, and I want you to hold on to it. And I know, it's small, so it could be easy to lose, so you have to be extra careful. Would you take it home today? Put it on your refrigerator, bulletin board, mirror in the bathroom, somewhere where you'll see it every day. And you can say, my piece of the puzzle, my story matters. Because I'm a part of the larger story. See, it doesn't matter a whole lot as an individual piece. It's pretty isolated on its own. But it matters because we are connected to the larger story, to the larger picture that God is unfolding. So I want you to hold on to this. Don't lose it. I'm going to invite you to bring it back in November. Oh, yeah. You have to keep it for like 2 months. What? Yeah. So really, don't lose it. Hold on to it because you know it'll be fun then. And it'd be fun, like put your initials on the back. And then when we bring it back in November, over the course of a few weeks, we'll set up a puzzle table. And I want you to bring it back. And let's start trying to put it together, all right? And to see what the whole picture unfolds and shows us. But I want you to have it so you remember how your story matters. It matters because it's not just a piece. It's a piece of the larger puzzle. Now, I had some other slides, and the guys in the booth are going crazy right now because I'm skipping some right now. But Here's where I want to go. I want to talk about a gentleman who some of you maybe have heard about, a guy named Louis Zamperini. Has anybody heard of him? Do you know Louis? He was at the center of a movie not too long ago called Unbroken. It was a book before that, powerful, powerful story. How many know his story? All right, more in this service than the first. Good, good. We'll come back to Zamperini's story more probably in some other time in the church year, but I just want to highlight him for a minute because it seems to me Louis was the prime case of a kid who was wandering and searching and figured he was a piece that didn't really matter. And so as a young boy, he was always getting into trouble, always causing fights, always stealing booze, catching a smoke around the backside before his folks would catch him. I mean, all the things in back in the 40s and 30s that, you know, was just trouble. But he had a gift. He had a gift of running, and he run long distance, and so he competed in the Berlin Olympics as a teenager. Can you imagine that? Yeah. And then the war broke out, of course, and he went to war, and he was a bombardier on a B-24 in the Pacific. His plane crashes at one point. And he survives an amazing ordeal. And I'm not going to go into all the details. But in all of this, there's no faith. There's an inkling for him. A searching. He prays in that raft. As it says, every good soldier prays in the foxhole, right? Even if there seems to be no faith before, when things are tough, we begin to pray and to grope about in our wandering and our wondering and say, God, are you there? And Zamperini was not so sure. He went through surviving in the ocean for 42 days. Gets picked up by the Japanese, goes into an internment, prisoner of war camp. Survives the prisoner of war camp through awful treatment as so many prisoners endured. And then he's a wreck because he has nightmares. His nightmares about his captors. All he wants is revenge, and so he's filled with hatred and hostility. All he can think of is this is a damaged piece, and it's just rage. And so he becomes an alcoholic. He's drinking all the time. His new wife is just beside herself. She can't figure out how to help. And then Billy Graham comes into town. It's in the midst of his crusades in the 40s and 50s. And she finally cajoles him after day to go to a Billy Graham crusade. And he hears the bigger picture. He hears about the God of the universe who took a wandering Aramean through the desert. He hears about that God. And that God loves Louis Zamperini. And that Louis Zamperini is not just a damaged piece, but is an integral piece to the larger puzzle. And he gives his life to God. And while his story as a soldier and in prisoner of war camp is powerful, I think his story gets even better beyond the war, because he becomes a major evangelist and shares that story and shares his life and calling people to understand God's forgiveness and mercy. He got it. He began to understand his own peace in the midst of the larger piece, the larger puzzle that God is up to. Friends, your story matters. Who you are, where you've come from, the highs, the lows, the good, the bad, the pain, the joy, it all matters, because it creates you, uniquely you, and uniquely the piece that God is using to bring the full picture of redemption together. You got your piece? All right, show me. Hold on to it. Where is it? Let's make sure you haven't lost it already. Somebody at the first service, like, lost it on the carpet forever. Like, if you lose this, it's going to be hard to find, so don't let go. You got it. All right. See, because when the puzzle pieces start to come together, we begin to put the picture back. It begins to get better and better to understand what in the world is going on. What is the picture? What does it fill out to? Well, for some reason, my slide doesn't show what it's supposed to show. It's supposed to show the globe. I don't know why it doesn't show it. It worked in my computer. Dang it. It's not your fault, guys. It's tech. Your story matters, because it's connected to God's grand story. That's a part of where our series is going, as we talk about life on loan, which we're going to be diving into in the next several weeks. Will you pray with me? Well, Lord, indeed, there are times when we wonder about our lives and try and make sense of it. But ultimately, Lord, we can't make sense of it without you, without understanding we are here as a gift from you. We're here uniquely crafted by you. And so our story matters as we connect it to your story, God. Thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we get to be a part of the puzzle, part of the larger redemptive story you're telling. Lord, give us wisdom as we live into that picture, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, don't lose it. Hold on to it. All right, well, in a minute, we're going to be taking our offering for the day. Don't put your puzzle piece into the offering plate. That's cheating. That's giving it back too soon. Got to hold on to it.